This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Welcome into March and welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show on this first show here on, March 3rd, right? Is that what we're doing this morning? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Thought I was behind. I knew it was a new month. I'm just trying to figure out the day. Welcome in. Mark Cox Center along with Kim St. Ange, Carl Middleman, Sue Thomas along shortly with your traffic this morning. And everybody have a great weekend. Was it all right, Kim?
Busy.
You feeling better?
Yeah, I'm doing better than I was Friday. It's one of those things that just kind of lingers.
You sound better.
Thank you.
Yeah. Carl, how about you? How'd the Blues do this weekend?
They won here, lost yesterday in Dallas.
Okay.
And then I saw Juvenile and Lil Wayne and Big Timers, and some of those groups sounded good. Others sounded old.
Oh.
And then last night I saw Seven Dust, 3 Days Grace, and Disturbed. And in fact, George Norrie played one of their songs.
He did. Did they play it?
Yeah. Oh, with...
Do they play it in concert?
They do, and they have a string section and a choir, and
wow,
really well done.
Metal group like Disturbed has a string section in concert.
It's their... They have two songs that have sold 8 million copies.
Yes.
That is one of them.
I'll bet.
How was Lil Wayne? Because wasn't that... Was that Friday night?
That was Friday night.
Okay, so that was before Mardi Gras.
Yes.
That was the Pot Fest, right?
Yes.
In fact, yes.
I was told, I did not experience this myself, I was told that Saturday at the hockey game, the bathrooms still smelled like marijuana.
We went to the mall the other day, and I had to do an exchange, and we were just walking around. I hadn't been to the mall in a while, West County, and we took my son into Build-A-Bear and just kind of let him play around. We didn't get anything. And oh my gosh, this family walks in and it like the overwhelming smell of weed.
On the whole family?
Well, I don't know
I
who.
Guess the
I didn't.
Kids were in
I guess.
The car.
I didn't look. They weren't young children or anything, but it smelled up the whole section.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm sorry, Mark. One more thing. Guess who I was hanging out with at the hockey game after the hockey game on Saturday night?
Smitty.
How about old Fred Bottenheimer over there?
Did you really? No kidding. Fred was down there.
Fred.
Huh?
Oh. Everybody loves Fred. People are coming up to. Are you Fred Bottenheimer?
Are you the Hall of Famer?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
You wrote that you had went to one of the best concerts or something.
I gotta tell you,
Journey to the Heart.
I put clips on the Facebook page there. If you follow us on Facebook, just go listen to a little bit of this. I have contemplated maybe trying to play a little bit of it on the air this morning at some point. I don't know how well it'll translate from an iPhone recording to radio, but it was, you could have closed your eyes and thought you were listening to Journey and Heart 95% of the time. I mean, Journey to the Heart is a band that I believe the two singers were both working in the Nashville area. One was in a band covering Heart. One was in a band covering Journey. And they got the idea of combining these into one concert where they do, like, the singer comes out, Ryan Christopher, and sings like three Journey songs. And then the ladies come out and sing three Heart songs. And it was amazing. $40 roughly is what it cost me at the factory. And somebody says online I was stupid for paying $40 for a cover band. You know what? Go see it and then tell me what you think about that, because I love both of those bands. I know Heart is still touring. Occasionally you can see Journey in town, But this guy sounded better than Arnell Pineda, in my opinion. He sounded just like Steve Perry, and it was awesome. And on top of that, he was a member of the military. He served at Scott Air Force Base and spent a lot of his time right over here near Shiloh before he started his singing career. And
that's cool.
It was great.
No, I mean, I know some people have different reasons for why they go to a concert. I know some of it was like, I just want to see this artist in person. But for me, I'm not a big concert goer, but I just enjoy having the songs and singing along. And so cover band to me, it's like, well, you know, you're still getting that experience, even if it's not the actual person singing it.
This is going to make me sound old, and I'm not going to apologize for that. The best thing about this was when I left there, my ears weren't ringing. Mm-hmm. The audio at the factory was perfect. It wasn't so loud that you couldn't turn to the person next to you and comment on how great the band was. And they had filled the lower area that's usually standing room only with seats. So you actually had a chair to sit in. And it was just a fantastic evening. If they ever come back, you got to go see them. I'm just telling you.
I could appreciate that. Yes. That is, I don't love that. I'm sure, Carl, you deal with that all the time where your ears are ringing. And
yeah.
That's not something I particularly like these days.
All right. We got lots to get to for you on this Monday morning. We are going to talk to State Representative Lisa Durnell a little later. When I brought up this bill from Bayer to ban basically Roundup, or the primary ingredient in Roundup, about a week ago, it was because of a post she put on her social media. She's a state representative. She was in the hearings in the House where questions were asked before the House voted on this. Now, the bill did pass the House. It's in the Senate now. Last week, we had on a representative from Bayer talking about it. We had on a state senator who's opposed to it. But it was originally Lisa Durnell's post that caught my attention because she listened to both sides in this hearing, and she was a no vote on the bill. So I wanted to get her on here this morning, and she's going to join us this morning at about 7:35. So stay tuned for that. We got Congressman Onder on a little later. We think we have Tom Ackerman, right? Is this correct?
We think so.
Okay. In the 8 o'clock
hour. We'll find out.
He's in Florida, so we just have to test the connection, and we're 95% sure we'll have somebody live from...
97.1%.
Oh, okay. 97.1%
nice,
sure in the 8
FM
o'clock
talk.
Hour. Well played, sir. Let's get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
You have to be thankful. You don't have the cards. People are dying. You're running low on soldiers.
Man, I hate it when big news happens on Friday in the middle of the day and I have to wait all weekend to talk about it. But we're going to this morning.
Have you said thank you once? This
a
entire
lot of
meeting?
Times.
No, in this
even
entire
today,
meeting, have you said thank
even
you?
Today.
You went to Pennsylvania and campaigned for the opposition in October. Oh.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Because you had a clueless dementia patient who was giving you billions and billions of dollars and asking no questions, and now there's a new sheriff in town.
And I just don't get it. I really don't. Other than the fact that it's Donald J. Trump. If this was a Democrat that was doing this, everyone would be saying, well, he's on his way to the Nobel Peace Prize. This is absurd.
It's true. Boy, I tell you what, man. Marco Rubio chewed up George Stephanopoulos yesterday and spit him back out. It was must-watch TV.
A source told me New York, SDNY, they're sitting on thousands of pages of documents regarding Epstein. Thousands. Thousands.
Woo, man. The biggest misstep so far of the Trump administration. I'm not afraid to say that. It really was. The Epstein files where Pam Bondi said, oh, it's sitting on my desk. Oh, it's salacious. You've got to see this stuff. And then after we got it, it became painfully obvious Pam Bondi had never read it, or she wouldn't have said that. It was kind of embarrassing. Well, she now claims they lied to her, and they've been hiding a bunch of stuff up where James Comey's daughter is the assistant attorney in charge of the Southern District of New York. And now she's going to get to the rest of it. So I hope she's right. I'm just saying it was a little bit of egg on your face.
It was, because even if they were being truthful or not, which I believe her that they probably said it has the X, Y, and Z in it, and it didn't. It doesn't matter. Ultimately, she was the gatekeeper on that, and her staff, at the very least, should have read every page of that and informed her before she went out there publicly and said, you have to see this. This is so juicy, and everyone was so excited and waiting with bated breath, and it was nothing.
Yes.
I knew that would happen. I just knew it.
Well, the media was just waiting to jump on something that wasn't all that it was promised to be, and of course they've been there's a lot of nervous people on the day before that was released, and then they're all, you know, sighing with relief the next morning when there was really nothing new there. But what's still in the file? Somebody's got to know the list of people who visited that island. They were getting ready to have a trial, and in order to conduct that trial, they would have done all of that investigative work to figure out who was on the island. Why has nobody else ever been charged if they went to that island to have sex with underage girls?
I'm not convinced we will ever get the full list.
We may not.
I don't think we're ever going to get the full details on the JFK assassination. I don't think we're going to get a lot of the stuff that people claim, specifically the Trump administration, has claimed they're going to release. I don't see that happening.
We'll see. I just want the whole Area 51 thing cleared up. Can I just tell you that?
I would like that.
That's George Norrie and I demand to know where the aliens are. Okay?
Where's E.T. with his Reese's Pieces?
All right, Carl Middleman, who's got our national anthem this morning?
The United States Army Field Band.
Well done. That is Ryan Christopher and some of the folks in Journey from the Heart. I wanted to play that. A buddy of mine recorded a bunch of this during the concert. Listen. Telling you, they were spot on, and boy, it was a lot of fun. So you get a chance to see them, go see them. Maybe I'll play some of the Heart stuff for you, but it was really good. Not to go on and on and on about it, but we had a great time for sure. All right, check that out. You can go to the Facebook page. I've got a couple clips from the concert up there, and you'll have an opportunity. We also got a picture with them afterwards, and Ryan Christopher actually reached out and said, you know, if you want to have somebody on to talk about it, I'll come on, because I had talked to him ahead of time and found out he was from Scott Air Force Base. So it was pretty
nice.
Awesome. Yeah, it's good. all right. Now we have to talk about what happened on Friday afternoon. So I'm sitting at my mom's house and we're getting ready to watch the noon news as she does every day. And all of a sudden it's CBS breaking news. Did you see this happen?
Not live. I've watched it later. Since. Yeah.
So, I guess it wasn't live. They had cameras in there recording it, and then they broke in and they played the last 10 minutes of the interview, where Trump and Zelensky had interactions sort of like this. Go to cut number two, please.
You have to be thankful. You don't have the cards. You're buried there. People are dying. You're running low on soldiers. It would be a damn good thing. And then you tell us, I don't want a ceasefire. I don't want a ceasefire. I want to go, and I want this. Look, if you could get a ceasefire right now, I tell you, you'd take it so the bullets stop flying and your men stop getting killed.
Of course, we want to stop the war. But you're saying
you don't want a ceasefire?
But I said to you,
I want a ceasefire.
With guarantees.
Because you get a ceasefire faster than any agreement.
Ask our people about a ceasefire, what they think.
That wasn't with me. That was with a guy named Biden who was not a smart person. That was with Obama, who gave you sheets and I gave you javelins.
Yes.
I gave you the javelins to take out all those tanks. Obama gave you sheets. In fact, the statement is Obama gave sheets and Trump gave javelins. You got to be more thankful, because let me tell you, you don't have the cards. With us, you have the cards. But without us, you don't have any cards.
One more question from Otto.
All right, come back. That was... You have to... Here's the thing. in so many of these situations, the mainstream media jumped on this. It was rude. Vladimir flew back to Europe, and he's now being embraced by all the European leaders. Poor Vladimir. Blah, you poor guy. Donald Trump was so mean to you. Come and cry on our shoulder. Spare me. I watched the entire 49 minutes of that interaction. I listened to it Sunday morning while I was fixing breakfast for my family. 49 minutes of it on Saturday morning, actually. And you have to listen to all of it to have the context of what happened at the end. If you didn't listen to that, you don't seem to understand that in Volodymyr Zelensky, you have a man who obviously he's got a lot of baggage, but I believe he's proud of his country. I believe he's angry and correctly so pissed off at Vladimir Putin, who's killed a lot of his fellow countrymen. But what you also need to understand is Vladimir Zelensky doesn't necessarily want the war to end tomorrow. He wanted to sign this deal, and in addition to that, he wanted U.S. security guarantees that would send him billions of more dollars in military equipment and weapons so he could continue fighting for at least one more year so he feels like he'd be in a better position to negotiate with Russia. So this was 49 minutes long. In the 39 minutes leading up to that last 10 minutes most people have seen, he says that repeatedly. He repeatedly lets you know he's not ready to stop fighting. And he's not going to unless he has security guarantees. Well, how do you get a security guarantee with Vladimir Putin? How do you do that? Well, if you have American interests in that country, in ownership of mining or whatever, Vladimir Putin's less likely to try to come in and start World War III. And you can see the moment when it was finally all J.D. Vance could take, and he stepped in and he called out. He hadn't said a word for 39 minutes. And finally Vance stepped in and said, "Sir, you need to understand what the president's trying to do for you here instead of lecturing us on what needs to happen. Without us, you can't continue any war. You have existed this long on the largesse of the American taxpayer, and that's about to end. So this is the deal, and you need to take it because you can't do it by yourself." He laid down some truths that Vladimir Zelensky and a lot of Europeans didn't want to hear, but it's the truth. And it was beyond overdue. And they certainly never heard that kind of crap from the Biden administration, which they needed to. All right, we're going to be back with Kim on a Whim right after this.
Kim on a Whim.
I would make the argument that there's typically two types of people in the world when it comes to traveling. Number one, you feel it is necessary to get to the airport stupid early, like 3 hours early. Maybe you enjoy people watching. I do actually enjoy that at the airport. But you feel more secure making sure you have plenty of time. And then there's the other type, which I'd probably fall more into this category, which would be you're like, you know, I could push it a little bit.
Maybe you don't need to be there 3 hours before
you
the
do,
plane.
Thank you. Especially if it's a domestic flight. It kills me when people feel the need to be there so early and they're panicking. And
sometimes those two type of people marry each other.
Yes, they do. They say opposites attract,
my
which
wife
makes life interesting.
Is the 3 hour early person, and I am the, oh, we're fine. It just takes us 20 minutes to get to the airport. We'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
But then we have to park, and we have to get there. We have to check. No, we'll be fine.
I've
never missed a flight.
That's great. That is pretty impressive.
Probably because she makes me get there 2 hours early. I don't know.
I don't think I've missed a flight. I know I've had to maybe run once, but sometimes that's just things are changing up. You know, they changed the gate last minute and you didn't check, and so you're trying to run to the whole different part of the airport for it. Well, you know, the airlines say, hey, if it's a domestic flight, you should get there 2 hours ahead of your flight. If it's an international flight, they recommend 3 hours.
Yeah.
Well, leave it to social media, TikTok specifically, to encourage people to try these really dumb challenges. The latest one has been dubbed the airport theory, because why would you ever want to waste even an hour of your time waiting? The whole idea behind this so-called airport theory is that you get there 15 minutes before your flight, and people are now missing their flights, but many of them are making it. Listen to one girl who was testing out this theory.
All right, guys, we're testing airport theory. It is currently 9:24, and my flight started boarding 4 minutes ago, and we're in security right now. Let's see how fast we can get through this. Okay, 9:29, we're through security. I also got randomly selected, so I had to do a whole other security check, but I see my gate. I would have to transfer. Perfect. Took a bus. It is 9:44. My flight is just now boarded, so we made it. Airport theory is true.
And she's the reason why more people are missing their flights, because they see those videos and they think, well, if she can do it, I can do it later. I guess I was reading this article that talked about ever since this whole like airport theory, whatever trend has been going on, Google searches for I missed my flight have increased by 645% in the last month. So clearly the airport theory is not great.
You know what I say about the airport theory?
Chicken crap.
I figured you used that drop.
Well, and here's the deal, because I don't know where that young lady lives, but she doesn't have to go through TSA at Lambert International Airport. Mm,
people have been testing this at the Atlanta airport and have successfully done it, and they say that is the busiest airport in the country.
They said that the one guy that did it on a Tuesday, not on a weekend.
That's true. You got to be careful if you're flying on like a Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
What I'm endlessly surprised by is that I don't always fly on the same day of the week. Like sometimes trips leave on a Thursday or sometimes a Friday, occasionally a Saturday or a Sunday. I really never know what to expect. Sometimes I'll get to the airport and it's packed at 4 a.m. or 5 a.m. You know, the gate attendants don't get there till 6, and you don't know why the hell that is. And then other days you get there and you waltz right through. So I would say it's so random that you might successfully pull off the 15-minute thing one day, and then for your very next trip, you're hosed.
Yep.
That's just not going
to
work.
I agree. I don't think you're going to make it every single time you want to try this little theory out. I think people just like the thrill trying to say, I was able to prove people wrong. I did it. Keep in mind that flights typically board 30 minutes before their scheduled departure. So if you're arriving, say, 15 minutes before boarding, then technically you're getting there 45 minutes before your flight takes off.
Yeah.
Well, but still, I would not risk that. I'm more of the person who's going to get there maybe an hour and a half. It depends on what, like you said, what day of the week it is, what time it is, and what airport it is. Because some of these airports, you could get in and out so quickly.
Do you know who hates it the most, the 15-minute plan?
Well, your wife, sounds like, is one of them. But yeah, probably airports. That makes
sense.
Because
if you're there as the plane boards, you don't have time to get a $12 coffee or some ridiculously priced drink at the bar.
That's true.
Where they stick it to you like armed robbers because they can.
Mm-hmm.
Because the local municipality has charged them such a ridiculous price for the lease that they have to charge you $23 for a hamburger. I mean, it's crazy.
And it's funny, too, because it's almost as if in the airport, time is just not a thing, because somehow it's acceptable. Well, in some people's lives, it's acceptable no matter what. But especially in airports, if you have a 9 a.m. flight, people will be there at 8 a.m. drinking a beer. It's like time is just whatever. It's not weird.
Well, for some, that's just an excuse to drink a beer. And yes. I guess others really think it calms their nerves somehow. My mother, who would never be listening to this program because she doesn't wake up till 10 a.m. anyway, loved to have a Bloody Mary before she flew. She claimed it calmed her nerves. Mm. So it didn't matter what time of day she got to the airport. If the bar was open, she was having a Bloody Mary.
I like Bloody Marys. I don't think I would. I have had them before flights, but I don't necessarily need it to calm my nerves. But I'm so that person, and I saw this video on social media that had me laughing because it's so me, and I think it describes a lot of other people. You know that feeling where you think, okay, I'm going to get a meal because I have an hour before my, you know, where they're going to start boarding. But it's almost like you have to walk to the gate to make sure it really exists. And then as soon as you see it, you flip right back around and you go do whatever. It's not like you even drop your luggage off. You just have to, like, look at it and make sure it's there. Oh, okay, yeah, C25, we're good. All right, now I can go get my burger.
Well, they sometimes will change it on
they
you.
Change the gate
they
on
they
you.
Do
you
gotta, but usually they would tell you before phone, right? I was gonna say nowadays it's just on your phone and people just scan everything. I mean, how many people, unless you're checking luggage, which I try to avoid, are actually printing out the boarding pass?
There was another plane had to be turned around. You know, once you hear of these incidents in planes, there was another plane that had to be turned around and brought back to the gate, I think at Boston last night. It was a Boston to New Orleans flight. They smelled smoke in the cabin after the plane took off, so they turned around and landed back at Boston and evacuated everybody off the plane, and apparently didn't find anything. So I don't know what it ended up being, but it's weird after you hear one of these incidents with a plane, suddenly you hear all of them.
I went down another rabbit hole looking at videos online, and there was another video that was really funny. You know how they do all the demonstrations where the oxygen mask falls and you're supposed to put it on the miner first and then you and da-da-da-da-da? And it was just joking about how all of us tune it out and just like, okay, we know, we've heard, la la la. And nowadays, because all these things are happening, everyone's sitting out there with their notepad diligently taking notes like, okay, the flotation device is underneath my seat. Da-da-da, here's what I do. Now we care because I'm never waiting, really.
I'm waiting on Delta for the new instructions to tell you what to do if you're hanging upside down at the end of the flight.
If you find yourself hanging like a bat when the plane has flipped upon landing, here's what we advise that you do.
And by the way, you said the mask thing backwards, because I've heard that speech a thousand times. You put your own mask first.
You're right.
Before you put it on the person.
And that's why I'm not a flight attendant.
At altitude, you have about 7 or 10 seconds before you could potentially
pass out,
lose consciousness. So you, as an adult, need to get your mask on first and then worry about the child sitting
there.
Clearly,
I've paid close attention to that. No, you're right. You're totally right now that I'm thinking about it. In fact, if anybody has any advice, my husband and I will be going on a family trip to New Hampshire, but we're flying into Boston.
Boston.
I'm so looking forward to this trip. This is an area where my family and I grew up going. We have so many memories there, and I haven't been back in years. And we're taking our 2-year-old son, Easton, on his first flight. He loves planes, but that boy does not do well sitting still for more than about not even five minutes.
It's so much easier these days, Kim. I mean, I've got pictures of us.
I'm not going to lie, I'm stressed out.
I've got pictures of us with when our kids were little. And these big humping headphones on and, you know, some kind of a device in front of them that might entertain them somehow. And now they can just put earbuds in and watch something on a phone if they want to. You want them to watch a movie or whatever
He won't even be entertained by that for very long. I know they say like snacks and games and toys and
gum
for a 2-year-old
to keep their ears from popping.
Well, I've just heard you give them water and you try to make them drink the water to swallow when
you're going up and going down. Kim, one word: Benadryl.
Drug my child.
And he'll be awake when you get to the airport, and he won't have bothered his ears. It's perfect.
Maybe I should take Benadryl, and then I won't have to deal with it. I'll be about eight months pregnant.
You go to the bar and you give him Benadryl. It's perfect.
Do you have Benadryl on the rocks, please? I think I can take Benadryl technically pregnant. There's
just
a lot of things I can't take.
Slip him a Mickey. He'll be fine.
Mickey. Oh, my gosh. This should be very interesting. I think it's like a 2.5-hour flight.
Are you listening
right now to the show? We will be arriving a little bit earlier only because we have to. I'm telling my husband about all the things we have to bring, you know, like the pack and play and the stroller and the car seat and all these things. And it's like, until you're a parent, you don't even. That doesn't even cross your mind about all these additional things that we'll need to bring.
It's a whole new hassle.
Like, we're getting a free night because we have points to a hotel, but it's like you're willing to spend more to be in walking distance so that you're not having to get Ubers everywhere and put the car seat in the Uber every time you want to go somewhere.
Yeah, and you're flying with a car seat? Rented one when you got there?
Well, I guess we could. See, I've heard you can, but I don't even know how any of that works. These are all questions I have.
Yeah.
So feel free to give me advice.
All right. Benadryl, that's my advice.
Or Mark's advice of just drugging the child.
I am only partially kidding, but there you go.
But also, there's truth to that.
If they sleep, you don't have to worry about that. I'm just saying. All right, coming up in the next hour, we're going to talk to Sarah Perry, a senior legal fellow from Heritage, in for Hans von Spakovsky this morning. You know, the courts have been pretty active against Trump. We're going to get her thoughts on the latest setback for the left. And also, the court has ruled that schools can hide gender identity from parents. At least one court did. We'll talk that over with Sarah at about 6:20. Stay tuned. All right. Well, welcome back. Carl, you say this was released when?
On this day in 1986.
Master of Puppets.
And this is the song Metallica has played live most of all in all of their tours.
Really?
And it's one of their best songs. So wake up, people.
Wake up. Good morning. Good Monday morning to you. Glad you're with us this morning. All right. So St. Louis isn't the only one, the only big city having crime problems. In Boston, Kim is flying into here for her vacation later in the summer. When she flies to Boston, they have their own crime problem up there, except in Boston, only the criminals are allowed to have weapons. So one of them went into a Chick-fil-A on Saturday and decided to wreak havoc. Like a mentally disturbed. Whenever I hear of a criminal trying to stab people in a fast food restaurant, I default to the fact that they're mentally ill and they're a criminal. This is how the Boston TV station reported on this on Saturday. Because, of course, Chick-fil-A is closed on Sundays, as we all know. So the guy was live in front of the Chick-fil-A on Sunday morning here.
Witnesses telling Boston police a man with a knife was threatening customers. Also inside, an off-duty Boston police officer.
And the off-duty officer identified himself as a police officer, instructed them to drop the weapon, at which point the individual did not comply. The officer discharged his weapon to stop the threat, and the individual was struck.
I support the police, yeah. I mean, he had to do what he had to do. Fortunately, nobody else got hurt.
Just so you understand what happened here, the guy with the knife sees the off-duty police officer who has at this point pulled his weapon and his concealed carry weapon, and the guy with the knife apparently charges him or threatens a customer in there, and the cop shoots him, right? But you or I, if we lived in Boston, wouldn't have the ability to defend ourselves or others because they've got laws like New York City and Washington, D.C., and law-abiding citizens are not allowed to have weapons, unless, of course, you're an off-duty police officer, which is the only reason somebody wasn't seriously hurt at this location. They don't believe in good guys with guns, but they let criminals do whatever the hell they want, mm-hmm. right? This guy would have maybe stabbed an unknown number of people at that restaurant had that off-duty officer not happened to have been there at the right time. That's what they're depending on for security in some of these big cities. The same, you know, it would be the same in St. Louis if we didn't have a Republican majority in the legislature and a Republican governor. They would pass draconian laws like that where they would not allow you to conceal carry in most places in the city.
Yep.
So what happens, right? Immediately, like with any shooting, the officer is, you know, not suspended.
Put on leave,
yeah, pending the investigation.
Right?
And all the questions are, did the officer have to shoot him?
Yes. Of course, they're going to say no.
No, and then the police chief and the mayor both said this at the news conference, and I wanted to reach through the TV and smack them. Can I just tell you that this was their reaction to what happened?
My condolences and all of our thoughts are with the family of the individual whose life has been lost.
Our thoughts and prayers are with the family and friends of the individual who's been lost.
So our condolences go to the individual who was killed tonight.
Their condolences are for the individual who was killed tonight, who took out a knife in a public restaurant and was threatening to stab people until a good guy with a gun, who happened to be an off-duty police officer, put him down. I forget how his family feels about it for the moment, and say your thoughts and prayers go out to the fact that nobody else in the restaurant was injured tonight. We're glad that no innocent civilians got hurt when a madman went crazy with a knife.
I think it can be both, and I think that should have been the number one thing they said was,
thank
we are
you.
So thankful that this off-duty police officer stepped in and was able to basically thwart this and Thwart. I'm like, Thwart? That doesn't sound right. Thwart, yeah. was able to stop this, and that should have been the number one thing. I feel bad for the family of that guy, only because think about how many families, you know, have tried so hard to try to bring this person, their loved one, back, and they're just kind of going off on their own, doing their own crazy stuff. But yeah, I mean, the number one thing should have been, wow, we're so thankful to that officer for stepping in and taking action and, you know, no one being hurt.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just an alien. But in that moment, as either the mayor or the police chief, the furthest thing from my mind would have been sending condolences to the family of the criminal who just tried to stab a bunch of people at a restaurant. Instead, you should be holding up that officer whose name they haven't released as a hero. I don't know if there's more to the story or not. That's what the TV stations were reporting up there earlier. All right, coming up, we'll get you a check of business, and we'll talk about that court ruling saying schools can hide gender identity from parents.
Get more at 971talk.com.